I am Kai, and I'm a final year PhD student at UC Berkeley. And so I'll be talking about estimation error reduction in portfolio optimization with CVAR. So I'll tell you what that problem is in a minute. And basically, so Professor Birch just talked about, you know, the problems about errors when you do portfolio optimization. And CVAR portfolio optimization is not immune to that. So we're going to discuss two different methods of improving upon that, and I'll show you how show you some results from our evaluation. Okay, so in case you were sleeping for the last hour, this is a generic portfolio optimization problem. So you want to like minimize risk, subject to some return constraint, and perhaps sum of weights equal to one, that kind of constraint. Of course, the Markowitz problem corresponds to the case when you have variance as your risk measure, and reward is your mean of the portfolio return, like this. And of course, you know, there are many variations upon this problem. You know, you can change like different, you can consider different measures of risk and so on and so forth. And so basically, what a conditional value at risk portfolio optimization is, we are going to consider a risk function, which is the conditional value at risk of the portfolio. Okay, so what is conditional value at risk? So CVAR, say at level 95%, you're talking about the conditional expectation of the losses in the top 95%, in the top 5%. It has been, you know, popular in the literature for about last 10-20 years. And it's nice because it tells you something about the loss in the tail. And you know, there's been a lot of talk about value at risk not telling you enough about the tail, what happens beyond the cutoff level. There's been, you know, a lot of talk about that, and you know, blaming value at risk for the financial crisis. I mean, some people talk about that kind of thing, but anyway, so people are talking about, oh, maybe if we look at conditional value at risk, maybe we can do better. And it also turns out CVAR has some nice mathematical properties of coherence, which you can read about in this paper. Okay, so that's CVAR. Okay, so this is the CVAR portfolio optimization problem. So you want to minimize CVAR of your portfolio W, subject to return constraint, and sum of weights equal to 1. And say we'll call this solution W0. But in reality, we don't know the distribution of your returns. So you know, to compute the CVAR function, you need to assume some kind of distribution on the asset returns. So suppose we observe IID data, so we have some historical observations that we're going to put this assumption of IID on that, and then we can consider solving an empirical problem. So we can consider minimizing an empirical estimate of the CVAR subject to some empirical return constraint. And it turns out this problem, which may look non-trivial at first, can be actually solved by an LP. Thank you to Professors Rockefeller and Uriase. But because this is an empirical problem, because this is an empirical problem, this is not immune to the problems that Professor Birch just talked about. And the solution to this empirical problem is very fragile. So please read my paper. Okay. So let me just demonstrate for you why the empirical CVAR problem is fragile. It's pretty much the same reason the Markowitz problem is fragile. Okay, so let's assume a simple model. So you have a Gaussian model for the asset returns, And from this model, we're going to simulate, say, 250 IAD daily observations. Okay? So you're an investor and you live in this nice Gaussian world, which is IAD, and you're going to get 250 observations, and you're going to solve the empirical problem that I've shown you before. And something I want to talk about now is that, so, I mean, we could compare plotting these the solutions themselves, right? I mean, we could look at the sample average of the solutions you get and so on and so forth, but I actually want to look at the realized return, meaning like what is the true expected return of this solution versus the realized risk of this solution. Okay, so there's a slight difference in that I care about the performance of the portfolio. I mean, it's okay if my empirical solution has a lot of variance, but in a direction that doesn't affect the performance of the portfolio. So I'm going to compare. So I'm going to do the evaluation in the return risk space, basically. Yeah. And of course, because your empirical solution is random, you want to repeat many times to get some kind of idea how it performs on average. Okay, so you might have seen something like this for the empirical mark risk problem before. And basically, what I'm saying is, no matter how nice and coherent the CVAR risk measure is, in truth, when it comes to empirical portfolio optimization, you still have the same problems of empirical mark risk problem. Okay, so here you're looking at return versus risk, and the green line is the population efficient frontier. So population in statistical, what statisticians say call is what happens if you knew the truth. So if you knew the true model, and you solve the mean CVAR problem, then your efficient frontier is this green curve. Okay, but when you solve the empirical problem, you're going to get these blue dots, and as you can see, it's all over the place. So for example, if you look at, say, 0.1, return of 0.1% per day, your empirical CVAR estimate ranges from 1.5 to all the way to 4. Okay, so it's not very reliable. Okay, so let me just, so just now I showed you lots of dots, but let me just summarize that by this curve. So you can take a sample average of those blue dots, and to represent the variability, I'm just plotting this horizontal and vertical error bars. Okay, I'm just doing that so because later on I'll be doing similar comparisons. Okay, so so what is our research objective? So we were like, okay, so we want to shift closer to the truth. Obviously, you can't get the green line. Nature is just not that nice. So we want to shift closer to the population frontier, hopefully maybe with more reliability, meaning maybe with smaller error bars. I mean, that would be really nice. So we investigated two methods. The first method is non-parametric, which means the only assumption we're going to make is that the return data is IID. And the second method is parametric, and basically we're going to assume an extra information, which is that the return data comes from from elliptical distribution. So it's not. I'll talk about that later. Okay. So. Let me describe the non-parametric method. Okay. And so I'm going to show you some pictures to get some intuition. So the population mean CVAR problem that we want to solve looks like this. We want to minimize the true CVAR of portfolio W subject to some constraints. But when you look at the empirical problem, What's happening is that your objective for different sets of observations is not going to be equal to the truth, but rather it's going to be fluctuating around the truth. Okay, so there's going to be some errors, and you're going to be minimizing something with an error about the truth, subject to some constraints because we have these estimates of the mean, we have constraints that's also fluctuating around the truth. Okay, so we're hoping maybe we can solve a better problem by reducing this fluctuation around the true objective and the true sets of constraints. And obviously, we can't do the truth. Okay, so here is our non-parametric method. And it's basically the idea is basically regularization. So the idea is we're gonna solve the empirical problem. It's missing a slide. So we're gonna solve an empirical problem, but add some penalties that represent the fluctuation about the objective function and fluctuation about the constraint. Okay. And of course, there are many possible penalty functions you could come up with. But in our line of investigation, we just looked at one, just for now. But I'm not saying that this is the only way. Okay, so we're going to look at, in particular, we're going to look at the sample variances of the objective. So I'm going to consider the function that represents the variance of the objective and the variance of the constraint. Okay, because it's kind of telling you how much you're fluctuating around the truth. Okay, and so this problem, when you write it down, it's actually a combinatorial problem. But it turns out it's actually equivalent to its convex relaxation, which is a QCQP. So you can solve this nicely. Okay, so that's our first method. The first method is like penalize the fluctuations around the truth. Now let's talk about a parametric method. We're going to consider the returns being elliptically distributed. Basically, that means it has this form. You have mean and missing of two random variables. Basically, the elliptical class of distributions, it encompasses the Gaussian and also includes like the heavier tail distributions, for example, the p-distribution. And the method is going to rely on this fact. The fact is, if you have our asset returns being elliptically distributed, then the CVAR function, the CVAR of your portfolio, turns out to be constant times the variance of the portfolio minus the mean of the portfolio. And so if you can recognize, this is just mean variance objective. So if you do minimize variance subject to return constraint, in population, the Markowitz and the mean CVAR problems are equivalent under this fairly large class of distributions. I think this kind of observations have been made before in other papers, at least for the Gaussian case. But our proposal is, I'm not sure if this was actually the next step of observing that you could perhaps solve the empirical Markowitz problem instead of the empirical mean CVAR problem. I'm not sure if that next step of argument has been made. Yes, I am aware of the problems with the empirical Markowitz problem, but let's focus on trying to improve the empirical mean CVAR problem, and then we can talk about. Okay, so just forget about all the all the things you heard about empirical Markowitz problem for now. Okay, so let's evaluate those two methods, the non-parametric and the parametric. So basically, we want to do what we did before. We want to look at the efficient frontier space, and we're going to compare the empirical versus the regularized versus the Markowitz solution. Okay, and just a little bit of advertisement here. Turns out we can actually do the comparison in the efficient frontier space and analytically. Please stay tuned for the upcoming paper. But for now, I'm still working out the details there. So let's just stay with the comparison by the Monte Carlo method. Okay, so you remember this plot from before. So here we have X having a Gaussian distribution, and here is the population frontier, the true frontier. And for now, I'm not plotting the error bars around this, but this corresponds to the original empirical mean CVAR problem. So this is the sample average of the empirical frontier. Okay, so how does the regularization perform? Okay, so with some regularization, I can shift the location of the empirical frontiers. I know it doesn't look like very much in this graph, but it turns out to be around 8 to 10% improvement in the location of the frontier. And how about the Markowitz problem? The Markowitz problem, remember, the idea is based on having the more information that X is elliptically distributed, and so it does a little bit better than that. So this is about 10 to 15% improvement in the location. So for the same expected return, you can get smaller risk. Okay? And how about the errors? So if you look at the error bars, I'm not sure how easy it is to see there, but it also turns out the error bar, so the size of the error bars of both the vertical and the horizontal, can be reduced by up to like 10 to 15% by using a different approach altogether. And of course, with the regularization method, I can actually approach the Markowitz frontier by my choice of how much I'm going to penalize that fluctuation about the mean. It will become equivalent to the Markowitz problem the more I penalize the constraint fluctuation. Okay, so to summarize that set of results, so the empirical problem can be uniformly dominated. So I mean, like, it's nice because our methods are uniformly dominating at every return level. It's not just at one point. So the empirical frontier can be dominated by the regularization method, and with the extra information that you are in a Gaussian world, you can do empirical Markowitz, which is better. Okay, and for the return being elliptically distributed, I actually get a similar result. Okay, and of course, a natural question now is, can the regularization method be better than the Markowitz method? Okay, so recognize that these comparisons are done under the elliptical distribution, and it's kind of not fair because for the Markowitz method, we're giving the vector a bit more information of the model class, so it's a bit unfair. But let's consider going off the elliptical distribution. So here I'm going to consider a mixture model. So I have the Gaussian model I used from before, but 5% of the time, I'm going to say all the efforts go through a perfectly correlated loss, like a shock to the system, and that loss has a negative exponential distribution. So I'm just adding a bit of mixture here to differentiate from the this elliptical distribution. Okay. So in this case, we have the population frontier is here, and the empirical frontier is down here. And here is the regularized frontier. And here's the Markowitz. So the answer to the question, is there a distribution for which regularization does better than Markowitz? Yes, there is. And for the errors, as you can see, the errors of the Markowitz problem actually turns out to be the worst in this particular distribution. Okay, so to conclude, so I think this was said in the last talk essentially, and it's probably going to be repeated throughout the day. Basically,
don't do empirical portfolio optimization. I mean, it's just bad. And if you want to solve a portfolio optimization and you have data, you can try different things. So we consider two different methods. So one is the non-parametric ideal. You regularize for the fluctuations. And the second is the parametric idea. And it's quite, when you think about it from an optimization perspective, it's very interesting because if you solve a completely different optimization problem altogether, in this parametric setting, you can do better than what you actually intend to do in performance. So that's quite interesting. Some directions for future work. The idea of regularization isn't restricted to the mean sigma problem. How about trying something like that for the empirical Markowitz problem, so you can even do better on the empirical, do better than the blue curve that I showed you. And then the second thing that I'm considering now is consider different penalty functions. So if you remember in the non-parametric method, I was penalizing the variance of the objective estimate and the variance of the constraint estimate, and wouldn't it be better to do one-sided variance? I'm not sure. I haven't thought about that. Well, I haven't thought about that much further than that. But and also, I'm not sure if there's a restriction that you can't just come up with any penalty function because the problem might not be easily solvable. So there's a problem attractability to consider there. And lastly, how about combining these methods with other, statistical methods of variance reduction. So Professor Birch talked about subsampling, for example. But they're not independent methods. You could, use one and the other together. I haven't done that or haven't considered that much further. Yeah. So that's my talk. Thank you.